If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
Yeah, boy, it's me, Richard Dixon. Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Portions of today's show brought to you by the place where you can save a bundle. You know, they toyed around with a lot of different names. At one point, they were all about trucks, but they actually considered calling themselves Bundle Savers. That's not true. Work Trucks is the name of the place. Work Trucks with an X, a place where you go to get a good old-fashioned work truck. I'm talking about the kind that's got the vinyl seats and the plastic floor mats, rubber floor mats. You know, it's not. You're not in high cotton. You're on a workhorse when you buy one of these things because it's designed for rough and tumble construction sites, lots of use, long-term ownership, and you can get it for a whole lot less. Then a new one, of course, and it's been through a 120-point inspection because they scour the country, find the best of the best, bring them in, and make sure that they are in tip-top shape before they hit the lot. Make your best deal at Work Trucks. Find out more at WorkTrucksWithAnXLLC.com. You can trade, you can finance, get an extended warranty. It's all right there. Work Trucks with an X, LLC.com, or downtown 2324 3rd Avenue South. I would be remiss if I did not tell you what is going on at our radio station as we speak. Are you ready? Starting next week, Valerie Vining is going to be joining Matt Murphy on The Morning Show. It's going to be Mornings with Matt and Val. Or is it Mornings with Matt and Valerie? Is it Murphy
it's
Vining
and
in
Val.
The morning?
It's Matt
and
Val.
Val. Okay. I'll go with that. Whatever works for them. I don't care. It's their business. I don't ever want to wake up that early again if I can avoid it. Can I be honest with you? I don't ever want to wake up that early again. I think about Andrea Lindenberg. I chatted with her last week, and she said she was starting on Thursday. And she did. She started yesterday. But she actually had to be camera ready by 4:30 a.m. And I was like, are you up for this? And she said, not yet, but I imagine I'll get there.
Well, you go to bed at like 4 in the afternoon?
It's pretty amazing. You catch sleep where you can. When I worked mornings, I used to go to bed at about 9 at night, and I would wake up at 3 a.m., and then I would, you know, make the drive into Birmingham, which was an hour away from where I lived at the time. But I would leave at 3:30 or so, and I would get to work at 4:30. The show began at 5:30. I always wanted to be there an hour early to handle any sort of mishaps. Plus, you know, if anything went wrong on that hour-long drive, I was going to have a fight on my hands. Only happened once in the 5 years that I did that, by the way. And then I had another thought there, but the COVID has taken it from me.
Well, I will tell you that
swept it away. Oh, you try to nap later.
There you go.
If you can, you know, you try to grab another couple of hours later if you can, but that never happens. And I figured at the end of every week, I was short exactly one full night of sleep. By the time I got to Friday, I was short one full night of sleep. And I'm sure that Andrea Lindenberg will be in the same shape in just a few short weeks. She's going to be punchy and goofy and unable to carry on a decent conversation. So, in other words, the Ani that we know and love.
Well, there you
and,
go.
And she's listening right now and going, damn you, Dixon, really?
No, she's probably taking a nap now.
I would hope so. And I hope I facilitate that. I hope that she is listening to the show and is bored to tears so she dozes right off. Anyway, so then David is going to be handling morning news until we have another news person to shove into the slot. And we will eventually. We've got that sort of under control from what I understand. And then Tim is on from from 10 to noon, okay, looking at throwing somebody in with him as well. And then I'm on from noon to 3, and things remain the same. Next week it'll be AJ with me, and of course Leland from 3 to 7, and AJ will be there for him too. So that's what's going on for the foreseeable future. John Byrd still with a morning show with Matt and Val, and you know, as these changes come along, we will explain them to you day by day, step by step. Look, change is inevitable. Whether it's because of, you know, corporate policy or changes, or because in Andrea's case she just got a great job she felt like she couldn't turn down, you know, one of us may get a fantastic job we feel like we can't turn down. It won't be me, trust me, but it could be anybody, and so we'll, you know, roll with the punches when that happens too. The goal here is to continue to bring you not just 13 hours of live and local programming every single weekday, But we want a variety of voices. I mean, you could say, well, you're not that variety. You're all conservative. Yeah, but we're all conservative in different degrees. We're all conservative in different ways. I am extremely libertarian about an immense amount of things. I tend to lean more on talk about food and economics, right? I love economics. I could talk about it all day. I probably shouldn't because it bores the hell out of people. We all have our own little niche that we've cut out, and we try to make every show its own unique little haven where people can come and feel at home. To that end, you should call the Birmingham Broker phone line, 545-9950, and answer the big stupid question of the day, which is, what is the oldest thing in your kitchen that you still use? Don't say your wife. Don't say yourself, okay? We've got those covered. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. David has some lead-lined plates that he uses, which is very nice. Anything else old? I mean, you moved out of an ancient house in Jasper. Shouldn't you have taken some really old stuff with you
at
that point?
We do. We have one of those old-school flour things, the flour sifter that you
flour
get the,
sifter.
The,
yeah.
the crank, the handle.
I've got one of those as well, yeah. I don't know how old this is. It was given to me by somebody who said it was her mother's, so it's got to be at least 50 years old, but I don't know, you know, beyond that. It's older than the one I grew up with, I know that, because that one had a little handle that you squeezed, but it's made out of the same kind of metal, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know, kitchen gadgets back then were more interesting. They looked like torture devices, didn't they?
They look like they really wanted to hurt you.
Yeah. My mom had a peeler in the drawer that was probably as dangerous to A, its user, and B, anybody who was on the wrong end of it, as any knife that we had. I mean, the thing was just sharp as hell. It seemed to never dull, which I found interesting. And because it was by design loose, the handle and the peeling part, I guess the blade you would call it, were kind of loosely attached. Pardon me, there's the Rona speaking again. It was when you'd reach into that drawer to grab something, there was a better than average chance that you were going to come out with a thumb slice. Good times, good times. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. EC is in Hueytown with his thoughts on the subject on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's up, brother?
Hey, when's the last time you went to Whataburger?
I haven't been to Whataburger in forever, man, and I love the place. I should get back there soon.
Well, what I'm saying, they opened a brand new one here in Leeds. I happen to be going by Leeds for some reason, but they have a brand new one, and me and the wife went by, and it wasn't too bad. I mean, I was starving to death, though. You know how it is when you didn't eat much for breakfast. You eat just about anything, but it was pretty good. So I was just curious before we got.
Have you never? You've never had a Whataburger before? Was that the first one?
I had one. We tried to. Me and the wife tried to remember when. I think it's 20 years ago when we went to Disney World. Drove down there. We stopped on the way. That's the last one I remember. But I've drove by them 100 times, though, you know, in different parts of, you know, Alabama, whatever. But this first time I really said, let's just stop and try it out. So it wasn't too bad.
I like them. I'm equidistant between two of them, and if I decide I want one, and maybe when this whole thing is over, I will decide I want one. I like the fact that they have a thinner, flatter patty. You know, and so their quarter-pound burger, it looks bigger because it's just flatter, and they make up the space by making it in circumference just larger, you know?
Mm. Yeah, a lot of lettuce, onions, tomatoes, whatever, a lot of stuff that's good for you, you know, what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's packed with it. It wasn't bad at all. You going to make it out to Bucky's, or you're not planning on when they open? I heard Matt mention it for some reason.
I will not be there on opening day, for one thing. I'm probably still going to be fighting the Rona. But I'll make it out there eventually after the crowd dies down a little bit. I would love to see this massive convenience store / gas station. Count me in.
Oh, it's big. It's humongous. You're dead set that you got COVID. You may not have it, Richard. I think you're worrying yourself to death, though.
Oh, I don't think I'm worrying myself. I mean, either I got it or I don't. And if I don't, then I've got a pretty good case of the flu. So does it really matter?
Not really. But let me give you some advice. This won't be the lousy advice I gave you yesterday. This is for real here. My mother, she's in her 80s, and she swears by Vicks menthol. What do you call it? Menthol
rub. Vapo-rub. The old Vapo-rub, yeah.
Vapo-rub, yeah. She keeps a jar of that stuff around. She swears by it. Now, I'm just telling you, you might try a little tab, you know, under, put it, you know, around your nose area, and then she swears by it. She gets over her colds just like that. And she, you know, so far, you know, her during her lifetime, and she swears by it. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You might try it. I don't think it'll hurt you, would it?
I find it hard to believe, EC, that you have a mother. That's just shocking.
yeah, you thought I was, I don't know, mate. Never mind. I'm not
hatched. thank you, EC.
Yeah, I was cast out of a mold or something.
I appreciate the call and the advice.
Best of luck to you, my friend.
Thank you. All right, there you go. That's twice now I've heard about the Vicks Vapo-Rub, so I'll have somebody pick some up and, you know, hurl it at my house from the road. JC is on a cell phone. JC, you're on Talk 99.5. What's on your mind?
Man, I don't know if I can follow that rambling stuff, but here goes the big stupid question. 22 years ago, when my wife and I decided to get married, I had my own silverware, of course, and I kept one fork out of the set and still use it today when she's not looking.
Yeah. She made you get rid of it, didn't she? She made you get rid of your silverware.
All of it.
Yeah. It was like, well, we don't need two sets of silverware, so why don't we get rid of yours? Also, that wagon wheel coffee table has to go. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, we did take stuff to the lake, so there's still a few things down there that you still claim some ownership.
Very good.
So they wasn't all for naught. You know, my beer mugs, they were, you know, they were, that's the territory.
So 22 years since you got married, how long did you have the fork before that?
Another 8.
So you're talking about a 30-year fork here, baby.
I was not willing to part with it.
Nice. Well, who can blame you? Thank you, JC.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call. A 30-year fork, my friends. That's how long that's been around. How about James in Lincoln? James, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Richard, I hope you get to feeling better. I'll tell you, when I get feeling like that, the only thing that really helps me just for a little bit is to take a real steamy shower or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I have a set of cast iron cookware that's been handed down through the family from my great great grandmother.
Oh, marvelous.
That I still use.
Yeah, those things should last you forever. They should last forever. If they don't last forever, you've done something wrong.
Exactly. I mean, Dutch ovens, several size skillets, and they're still like nonstick. I mean, I use them all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know how old they could be. They're well over 100 years old, but I don't know if my great-great-grandmother was the first to have them or it was handed down before her.
The only reason why any of those things should ever disappear is, number one, if there's a house fire and it melts, okay? It would have to be a really hot house fire. And number two, if the police ever seize it in a murder case as the weapon, that's the reason why you might lose control of it. So hold on to it and pass it down to your kids and have them pass it down to their kids, because that's a great piece of history you've got there, man. Thank you, James. I appreciate the call. I love my cast iron stuff, man. I don't have a lot of it. I got 3 pans. That's it, but I use them. 114, let's take a quick break. We'll hurry back. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk995.com. I'm already done with this. I've only had it for a day and a half, and I'm ready to quit. I don't even know that it's COVID. It's just making me miserable as well. Well, good thing I've got a doctor joining me coming up in about 45 minutes. He's a veterinarian, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't denigrate his skills at all. I'm sure if your dog had COVID, you'd take him to him, right? That makes sense. Chance Landscaping and so much more, a home maintenance company to come in my place on Monday. And they are going to be, they're staying outside, don't worry. There's no chance of my interacting with them or their catching any of this. And they are going to, neaten up the yard, make sure that everything's trimmed, make sure that all the leaves are abated. We want them gone. They are going to clean out my gutters. They're going to trim my shrubs. And that's what I'm looking for. Shrub trimming, gutter cleaning, lawn neatening. I want it all to be straightened out and ready for action so that, as spring comes in, we've got space for grass to grow. And it's got defined parameters. That's kind of important. Plus, of course, I want to make sure that these shrubs are staying, below window level for security purposes so that I can always see out and, bad guys can't hide in them. It's just a good idea. You can find out more about it and the work that they do, because they do repairs for your home inside and out. 205-821-7015, 205-821-7015. That is Chance Landscaping and so much more, a home maintenance company. They're the guys that I count on, and boy, do they do a great job for me. Let's talk to James on a cell phone. James, you're on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's going on?
Yes, sir. We were married in 1967, my wife and I, and we have at least four things from 1967. One, mm-hmm. a little GE hand mixer, a set of silverware. My mother gave us S&H green stamps to get with.
Nice.
And we have, what is it we've got? Oh, a toaster that was given to us.
The toaster still works?
The toaster, I think it's a Hoover brand, was given to us in 1967.
Good Lord.
And the silverware and the toaster and the hand, little GE hand mixer works as good as it did the day I bought it at the BX in Plattsburgh, New York.
You know, what I'm hearing here, Johnny, is that not only do you take really good care of your stuff, but you're also remarkably cheap. Buy your wife some new kitchen appliances, for the love of God. I mean, making her live with stuff that's 50 years old. Come on, Johnny. What are you doing?
James, also, I have a cold spot freezer from 1970. A chest type came from Sears. It's cold.
Oh, yeah.
Spot.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
I heard you talking earlier about the appliances. I retired with General Electric Company in 2003. I wasn't in appliances, but I can tell you, none of the stuff. Kenmore used to make the best washing machine dryer, but it doesn't matter what brand is anymore. They're not made to last a long time.
It's all junk, yes. I know that,
yes,
James.
Sir.
I know, because I bought a Kenmore washer and dryer for my first house because my in-laws had some, and they were very old, and they still worked. And I was like, this is great. Well, I didn't know that the Kenmores that you were buying in 1993 were different than the Kenmores they had purchased in 1968, So these things gave out in about 2 years, and I was like, okay, that was a mistake. Thank you for the call, James.
I used to repair mine myself, and I got rid of the Kenmore and bought GE because I worked with GE, and it wasn't a year or two, the whole motor and everything went out on the washing machine, and I worked for the company. But I appreciate your time, but I will buy that sweet woman some new appliances when she needs it.
Women love that, by the way. You should wrap it up as a present. Here, I got you a new mixer. It's like their favorite thing, James.
One more real quick. You were talking about refrigerators. We didn't have a refrigerator. I'm 74 until I was 6 years old. And it was made by Frigidaire. And we didn't even say go to the refrigerator.
Right.
We'd say, I'm going to the Frigidaire.
The Frigidaire.
And that thing lasted and lasted. I don't know how many years.
Did it have that evaporator on the top of it that a lot of those old ones did? Oh, okay.
No, sir.
So, yeah.
It wasn't quite that old. But had to defrost it. You had to. It was no element.
Yep.
The only
yep.
bad thing about those, children could die in one if they ever got in that door closed.
Yes, if a child was stupid enough to get into the refrigerator, they could feasibly die. I would agree. Horrible
a
thing.
A lot of people have an old one sitting around, if a child ever got in that door close,
not
they were
bright.
A goner because you could not open it inside.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate you, man, and thank you for listening. As James, 74 years old, didn't have a fridge until he was 6. People used to live that way. You know, you'd go out and you'd get what you were going to eat that night. You'd buy it fresh at the store, and then you would bring it home and you would cook it. Or you would serve the milk or whatever. And the milkman would bring you milk every day. You know, for a while they had this thing called ice boxes where you would just have a big old block of ice that you would put inside essentially a cooler, and it would supposedly keep your stuff, you know, cold, kind of like camping cold, not really cold, right? I have a feeling Johnny probably, or James probably lived with one of those for a while. Johnny actually is up next, which is why I'm confused, and I keep looking at the screen, and my mind is conflating the two. I can't keep anything straight right now. I'm going to make it through today's show, I swear to you. Then I get 2 days off. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. It's First News time. Stick around. Talk995.com. A little cheap trick getting us back. It's not a cheap trick to find a house, especially in a tightening housing market. How's that for a segue, huh? Even with the Rona, I still got it, dude. I still got it. In a tightening house market where fewer people are putting their houses up for sale, the good news is that if you put yours up for sale, there's going to be a lot of people who want it. The bad news is it's going to be harder to find a house that you want because there's a smaller number of people who are selling theirs. This is why you need a good, top-quality, licensed real estate professional like Monica Thatch Keller Williams Trustful. Now, she can help you move your house, stage it properly, market it properly, get top dollar for it, and do it relatively quickly. Average house sale right now taking place in about 66 days. She might be able to beat that. I wouldn't be surprised. And still get, you know, a great price, which is what you're after. And then she'll turn around and find you the house in the right neighborhood at the right price. She did it for me. I know she can do it for you because she's that good. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, patient, kind, and boy, she listens. That's so important. She listens. I've dealt with real estate agents. Last thing you want from a real estate agent is somebody who tells you, oh, you don't want that. Don't tell me what I want. Monica Thatch will never tell you what you want. You tell her what you want, and she makes it happen. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams, Trustful, 229-1865, 229-1865. Johnny is in Birmingham with questions about the Capitol. Hello, Johnny. You're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, I heard a crazy story, and I actually read it on a lady's phone. There's a woman, Maureen McKnight Winnis. She's got an article and a bunch of stuff on Trump, but she has wrote something about Trump in 2018 that he made a deal with the Vatican and London somehow to borrow money, and now the Vatican owns the White House, so it's considered foreign soil. What is that all about?
It's delusional ramblings of a sick mind. None of it is true. That, of course, is ridiculous. The White House has never been for sale. We didn't borrow money from the Vatican. We've not borrowed money from anybody in London. None of that is true. You can put it out of your mind and let not your heart be troubled because it's not real. So, hope that answers your question, Johnny, and be a little more discriminating in the stuff you read. Darren is in Huntsville. Darren, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Yeah, there. I apologize. I've got kind of croup. Laryngitis. Can you hear me?
He's got the croup.
It's not croup. Well, it is. I guess it's what they used to call it in the old days. But it's. But anyway, I was all about the administration coming in. it kind of happened kind of fast as far as, you know, they got that Jin Kawasaki up there giving the spokeswoman, you know, and all that. And I just noticed it. Is that normal for him to get the show on the road that quick?
Sure, absolutely. Why wouldn't they?
Well, I'm glad of it because, you know, we've got a lot of problems with COVID and things of that nature. It's just sad.
Yeah, we'll see if any of what they're doing actually takes, because thus far I'm fairly unimpressed, got to be honest.
Well, wait, let me ask you a question, though. Is there anything that Biden's doing that you think agree with? That's what I mean.
I haven't seen anything yet. No,
I don't mean that derogatory. I'm actually asking.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I have literally not seen him do a thing with which I agree. Every single thing that he has done thus far, I disagree with. I disagree with his stopping the building of the border wall. I disagree with his putting a halt on the XL pipeline. I disagree with his making it more difficult to drill on federal lands. He is going to make the price of gasoline significantly more expensive, which is a real detriment across all economic spectrums. Everybody uses gasoline, and every one of them is going to end up paying a price for this. Forget about raising taxes, just raising the cost of living. Plus, when you think about what it's going to cost to ship things across the country, the price of everything goes up. A 2-liter bottle of Coke is going to go from $1.89 to $2.19 because it costs that much more to get it from there to here. There's nothing good about that.
Well, get ready for $10 Big Macs. And,
if he decides to go with a $15 minimum wage, the economic stupidity of that is mind-boggling, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Liberals and Democrats have never, never really expressed a lot of intelligence when it comes to economics. And so, you know, Biden's been at it for 47 years. He still doesn't get it. Or maybe he gets it and doesn't care. I'm not sure which is worse.
Well, they like to brag about their education, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, I know some of the dumbest people I know hold 2-3 master's degrees. Thank you, Darren. I appreciate the call. The thing about this Bernie meme, I want to point this out because SHG has been sending them to me nonstop for the past day and a half because they're funny. I mean, they crack me up. They really do. They're one of the first memes I've seen thus far. I don't get tired of them, okay? Every new one that comes down the line is better than the last one. Some of them I've seen 3 and 4 times, and I still find them funny. I mean, that's a pretty big deal to have a meme that works as well as that, okay? But here's the thing about it. Bernie is sitting there with the Michaela is not impressed look on his face, I assume, underneath the mask. I can't tell, right? Do you remember that from the Olympics, by the way?
Michaela Maroney, 2012.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure because I was making a reference there that some people might not have gotten. But I think she won the silver medal, right? And she was all kind of grumpy about that.
She
and
was.
Had this look on her face that was like, it was funny. Anyway, she's over it now from what I understand. I think Bernie had that look on his face under his mask. And here's why. If you pick this apart, and I'm not making any giant leaps in here, okay? Follow my logic on this. Bernie Sanders was well on his way to at least being a serious contender for the Democratic National Convention and actually getting the nod. He was going to be on the ticket. There was every reason to believe that he was going to win the primaries and be a candidate. Why? Because Elizabeth Warren was proving not to be that big a challenge to him, and that was the only other person who kind of shared his ideas. On the other hand, the, quote, more moderate, end quote, of the Democrats were spread out amongst a bunch of people, Joe Biden being one of them, of course, but Amy Klobuchar was in that mix, the chick from Hawaii, whose name I can't remember. You know, even Andrew Yang was considered to be not that far flung. Aside from universal basic income, the guy had some fairly solid, straightforward. I got to interview him. I know he was actually pretty middle of the road, except for that UBI thing that he was all about. So there were about 6 or 8 people that sort of took up that middle-of-the-road mantle, and so the vote was being split a lot of different ways. And Bernie was, you know, if it had stayed that way and those people had stayed in, Pete Buttigieg was one of them, if those people had stayed in, and eventually Elizabeth Warren looked at it and said, I can't win this thing. There's no way. All I'm doing is taking votes away from Bernie. Maybe I should throw in with him. Maybe he makes me his vice president. I don't know. And she had gotten out. There's reason to believe that he would have won this thing. That's not a big leap. OK, go back and look at the numbers after the first three, four of these primaries. Bernie was on the fast track. Things were going very well for him. There was a reason why the Democratic National Committee decided to put on an all-out push to get all the rest of those moderate Democrats, quote-unquote, out of the way so that Biden could have the mantle. Couple of reasons. Number one, they really didn't want Bernie to have it because Bernie was getting most of his money from $2 and $3 and $5 donations from citizens. Okay, this guy was great at sucking up money from average citizens. And he said, you know, a vast majority of his donations were coming in under less than $50. Many of them under $20. And he had this gigantic coffer because people liked Bernie's message of socialism and paying off student loans and, you know, Medicare for all these really terrible ideas. But, you know, there were people, especially young people, who got absolutely sucked into that, and so they were pouring money in. Now, what does that mean? That means Bernie isn't beholden to any of the old guard. He's not beholden to corporations. He's not beholden to K Street lobbyists. He's not beholden to special interests. They couldn't have that. That was unacceptable. They had to have somebody who was beholden to all of those people as the candidate potentially to knock off Trump, especially if, as many believe, the fix was already in when it came to mail-in voting, which they knew they were going to use as a backdoor to slip extra votes in or to game the system and do what they needed to do. Okay? So they got Bernie Sanders thrown out. Well, they didn't get him thrown out. They went in and they called, you know, all of these others. They called Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and what's-her-face from Hawaii. And they got them all to bow out. They got them all to leave and throw their support to Joe Biden. And consequently, Joe Biden ended up picking more votes going forward because it was a choice of either Bernie, and either you loved Bernie or you hated Bernie. Bernie was a polarizing figure. You know, there weren't a lot of people who were like, I can take him or leave him. No, either you loved Bernie or you hated everything Bernie stood for. And so if you were a Democrat, you had a pretty clear-cut choice. You were either voting for Bernie or you were voting against Bernie. And Joe Biden was the against Bernie vote. Consequently, he ended up winning the Democratic nomination for the presidency. The other reason why they chose Biden instead of one of these other guys, I mean, think about it. They could have chosen Beto. They didn't. They could have chosen Hawaii chick, Tulsi Gabbard, that's her name. They didn't. They could have chosen, Amy Klobuchar. Oh, my God, the woman has less than... her charisma's actually negative. She's in the negatives in charisma.
She makes Romney look like a charismatic individual.
She sucks the life out of other charismatic people. It's amazing. Anyway, they didn't pick her. They didn't pick Pete Buttigieg. They didn't pick any of these other people because they needed someone they knew they could control. And Joe Biden had proven over time he was a guy who could be controlled by the Democratic Party. He's been there before. Okay? And so Bernie Sanders was sitting there with his arms crossed and saying, the fix was in, and the Democratic National Committee helped make, you know, it didn't matter who was going to be the candidate. That candidate was going to win. And all he could think of was, it could have been me. It should have been me. The cards were stacked against me. I was a good foot soldier. I got nothing out of this. And I can't blame him for being upset, because I think he did have an inside track, at least a better-than-average chance of walking away with that nomination had the DNC not gotten involved and started stirring the pudding, as they are wont to do. You know, with Hillary, they did it with, superdelegates. They did away with superdelegates because of all the complaints. Then they just started making phone calls and forcing people out of the race. At the very least, you can say this about Donald Trump. He was an organic candidate. He really rose to the top based upon the love and the support of the people who liked what they saw, liked what they heard, and thought this guy would make a great president. And he's the first president of my lifetime that got 10 million more votes the second time he ran than the first time, which is pretty damned impressive. 1:43, a quick break. I bet we can squeeze in some food talk when we return. Don't go away. Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us, 592-3000-4906 North 40th Street. Great place to go shooting this weekend. Why not? Grab your significant other, head over there, blast away. They got low-priced ammo that makes it convenient, reasonable, and fun. And then you can buy more and take as much time as you like. You know, make sure you get all the practice in that you need, because we're coming into uncertain times here, and having good aim is always a good idea. They also do gunsmithing. They sell firearms. You can get accessories there and have them attached to your firearm if they are the kind that attach. Gun cleaning kits. I had them clean my gun last time. I was like, that thing shoots better than when I bought it. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I love my Walther. Anyway, it's Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us. If you've been shooting somewhere else and being treated shabbily, let me recommend Sentinel Firearms, 592-3004, 906 North 40th Street. They're the proud sponsor of the Big Stupid Question of the Day, which is, what is the oldest kitchen utensil? What is the oldest thing you have in your kitchen that you still use? Don't say your wife. Don't say yourself. We've already heard these stories. Thank you. Anytime Chick-fil-A comes out with a new product, it merits our attention, and they have done exactly that. It is a spicy grilled chicken deluxe sandwich. Spicy grilled chicken deluxe. It starts on January 25th. You know my feeling on the subject. When I go to Chick-fil-A, I just want the number one regular. I don't usually want to mess around with other things. I will say that they do a good grilled sandwich, a good grilled chicken. I've had it before. It's a grilled chicken marinated in a spicy seasoning served on a toasted multigrain brioche bun with Colby Jack cheese, lettuce, and mater. The new sandwich developed to pair with a packet of the limited-time cool and creamy cilantro lime sauce, which was created specifically for this. They tested the grilled spicy chicken deluxe sandwich in select cities in advance of taking it nationwide. Represents the first limited-time entree to be featured on Chick-fil-A's national menu since the summer of 2019. Remember the summer of 2019? We used to go to concerts. We weren't wearing masks. Oh, it was a crazy time. Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy time. Anyway, it starts Monday, January 25th. If you'd like to rush out and try one on for size, it looks delicious. Wendy's is offering 2-for-$4 breakfast sandwich deals. Wendy's breakfast took off like a shot, you know. I think people were just waiting for another quality fast food breakfast to hit the market. Taco Bell had kind of run its course. We've all been to McDonald's time and time again. When Wendy's came up with it, it was like, oh, I like Wendy's and I like breakfast, so this should probably do very well. And it did. And then, of course, it sort of, you know, died down and joined the ranks of everybody else. And it's not because of the pandemic. They launched it, and then the pandemic hit, and they still did very well. So the fact that they're offering up some specials might be designed to inspire folks to make another visit over there to Wendy's. You can get the classic sausage, egg, and cheese, the classic bacon, egg, and cheese, or the honey butter chicken biscuit at 2-for-$4 right now. I like all of those, but I will say the honey butter chicken biscuit is disappointingly small. The other ones I'm okay with. The honey butter chicken biscuit.
That, Richard. Yeah.
Being disappointingly small?
Yes.
SHG is used to that. I never get used to it. I'm always disappointed. Anyway, I see where you're going with that. I see what you were trying to do with that. Boston Market staging a big comeback. Remember Boston Market? Did you have any Boston Markets in this area, by the way?
We did, and then it became a Kenny Rogers Roasters, and now it's the Purple Onion.
Oh, yeah, I remember Kenny Rogers Roasters. They're on Highway 31 in Hoover, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a big Boston Market close to where my dad would drive home from Disney when he worked. So yeah. He would pick up the Boston Market chicken because, you know, it's a pre-prepared chicken. You get the sides, and boom, we had dinner.
Yeah, Boston Market. We didn't have them in Minneapolis when I was growing up, and I've never had them in any city I lived in until I got to Orlando. And there were several there, but boy, they were on the wane. They expanded really fast, and they apparently amassed a lot of debt while they were doing that. And unfortunately, you know, the economy turned a bit sour there. It was at the end of the Clinton run and just before 9/11, you know, we had a little bit of a dip and then 9/11 happened and then we had a big dip. And so they ended up closing just a bunch of these locations and it fell apart. Well, somebody bought them basically, bought them out of largely bankruptcy, and they are now doing express style locations. They do have some places that still have dining rooms, but mostly what David was just saying is you go by, you pick up your rotisserie chicken, your sides, and you take them home and you eat them. And they're also looking at fried chicken. They want to get involved in the chicken sandwich battle. They are coming out with a Nashville-style hot chicken sandwich, partially cooked by the supplier. It's finished on site in the store's convection ovens, a.k.a. air fryers. And they're also going to have a Nashville-style rotisserie chicken. So whether they get one open in this market before long, I do not know. I think we are ripe for one, could probably use one. Boston Market was a big, big deal for a while there. And it sort of, I don't know, faded on the vine, but I always felt like there was room to make that work. Costco, bringing back a fan favorite, an iconic treat that many people felt was missing once they decided to do away with it. I'm talking, of course, about the churro. Yep, churros were getting an upgrade, and we're in testing at one location. The price changed from $1 to $1.49, but so did the size. Costco customers delighted. Now, according to a post from an Instagram account, Costco buys of a sign at the Huntington Beach Bella Terra Costco in California, the Twisted Churro is officially on its way back. One commenter reportedly seeing the same sign at a store in Irvine, California, too. Others took the sign to say, finally, they're so freaking excited. OMG. I don't know. I can't get excited about a churro. To me, I feel like churro is kind of that poor food. It's like, well, this is what we have.
Dude, we have some cinnamon and some churros. They're so delicious. They're cinnamon. They're sugar. There's fried dough. I mean, it's a Mexican donut.
All right. For the most part, I do like fried dough. I have to admit, I'm a fan. But really, it tastes like, sorry, kids, we don't have any ice cream. This is the best we could do. Yeah. Given a choice, I'll take ice cream or Oreos. Or both. First News Time.